that is. Do we know who that is?
It's John S.
Sears.
Oh, we now know the layout of the house.
Who is it?
Spears. John Spears.
John Spears, for goodness sake. Let me find him on the list here.
Wait, I see a phone over
John
there.
S. I hear my name. John S.
Yeah, we're here. John, I'm here. Mute yourself, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're talking about, I did.
Yeah, we're hearing we're hearing the whole conversation. So.
Oh, okay. So we're talking. We just found a mouse in the house.
Oh, nice.
My wife doesn't like that.
Get an application. Sign him up for the call. Okay. Okay, we're gonna go ahead and start. All right. So, listen, I want to welcome everybody to a meeting. We have a lot of people. We have 45 people on today, which is a really nice turnout. So I will ring our bell. And we'll get going. So I've started the meetings lately with the three O's. And for some of you who haven't been on the meetings recently, this idea came to me a few weeks ago, and I actually used it with the Optimus International president when he was on our club meeting on July 21st. And then I noticed that Optimus International stole it and put it on the their world Facebook page. I was quite complimented, as our club should be. And the three O's of the Centerville Noon Optimist Club and now all of Optimus International are: optimists turn obstacles into opportunities. And goodness gracious, this has been a year where we've had obstacles, but we've decided to look at those with optimism, make opportunities. This Zoom meeting is a great example of one. You'll hear when we do committee announcements, Nancy Laram will talk about Build-A-Bear that we did for sickle cell kids on Saturday and how we re-engineered that to be a safe environment, socially distant. So that's the three O's. Optimists turn obstacles into opportunities. And now we will start like we always do with our chaplain, one of our chaplains, Aaron Dickerson, with a prayer. And we have special intentions today too when we do the opening prayer. Aaron.
All right. Heavenly Father, we pray for your healing, Lord. The world around us is suffering from illness, hatred, and divisiveness. Help us be instruments to heal our world one act at a time. Today, Lord, we also pray for our brothers and sisters in optimism: Tom Brozich, Donna Huss, Father Phil, and Greg Crabtree. Please surround them with your healing, comfort, and love. Amen.
Amen. And now we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. It always sounds interesting because everybody has a different internet connection speed. It'll be all disjointed, but we'll have fun doing it. I pledge allegiance, to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Hey, today we have a really special noon meeting for you. First thing we'll do is, I don't know if we have any guests with us, but do we? If we do, please unmute yourself and speak up, and we'll welcome you. One guest we do have is our speaker, and I'll get to him in a second. But one of the things I would tell you is, to our club members, do not be afraid to invite people to our meeting by sending the email with the link to Zoom. We would love to have guests. We can put up to 100 people on this meeting, and we love showing off this club, now the number one club in the world. So we'll do birthdays and anniversaries, then we'll have a donations recap and review a thank you note that we received from Dayton Children's. We'll have committee announcements, and Nancy Laren's going to tell us about the Build-A-Bear event on Saturday. We've got some pictures to show you. And then we're really excited. Back with us again, WHIO radio personality Larry Hansgen. He's spoken to our club several times before. We kind of teased him. We said, are you going to do a PowerPoint? He said, I'm a low-tech guy. And as I said earlier, with the set of pipes that he has, all he needs to do is talk. And he'll give us an update on what's going on around Dayton, probably some information about the flyers as well. We'll do Happy Bucks, and we'll close the meeting as we always do with our Optimist Creed. So first we'll do birthdays. We have three birthdays coming up this week. Susan Thompson, August 20th, and Steve Walker and Marilyn Becht on August 21st. So happy birthday to those three folks. club anniversaries. We have a wine in the Great Ohio District, and Myron is the governor this year, Myron in our club. And it is Imagine the Power of You. We are a volunteer organization. We like to help kids. We do a lot for the community, and we have a lot of fun doing it. So we can't do anything without you. So celebration of club anniversaries. We have Don Massey, 29 years. Julie Walling Nath, 12 years. Matt Summerlot, 7 years. And Shauna Hatton, 4 years. That's 52 years of service between those folks to our kids. And the number for the whole club is quite astonishing. Our club has 314 members. We are the largest Optimist club in the world. And that's out of 2,400 clubs, by the way. We have combined years of service of the current members of 3,317 years of belonging to the Centerville Noon Optimist Club and serving kids. It's a big wow. We're really, really proud of that. Donations recap and thank you notes. Year to date, July, the club has made donations to this list. This is sort of the high level list of organizations that we've donated to so far this year of $113,184. In the last 7 years, almost $800,000. And in the history of the club, which was founded in 1968, that's, we say approximately 2 million, it's over 2 million at this point. So there's a lot of wonderful organizations that our club makes donations and gifts to, and we're really proud to support the community that we live in. Thank you note. We received a really nice letter from Dayton Children's. I'm gonna hit the highlights of it. It'll be in the it'll be in the C-Notes packet when we release it next week. But we received a great note from Dayton Children's. When Katie Hollingsworth was 14 years old, she was given a 3% chance to live. Her organs were failing, and she spent 7 weeks in a coma due to some myeloid leukemia, a form of cancer. No parent ever wants to hear the words, your child has cancer, but that's where you made the difference. The gift of $15,000 from Centerville Noon Optimist Club ensures that kids who are facing the battle of their lives have the best possible chance of living their dream, just like Katie did. Today, she's back at Dayton Children's, not as a cancer patient, but as a caregiver. She's a hematology oncology nurse here at Dayton Children's, working with many of the same nurses who helped save her life. That's a fantastic story. And helping bring the same remarkable level of care to her own patients that she remembers receiving as a child. This year has been challenging in so many ways, but we are so grateful that despite not hosting your annual Tee Off for Youth golf outing, you chose to continue supporting kids like Katie in their journeys to defeat cancer and chase their dreams. And as all of you know, we, with great disappointment and sadness, canceled our golf outing. We originally had rescheduled it, then we canceled it. But we decided that this was very important work that we do, and we made the donation equivalent to last year's donation, which was 1/3 of the net proceeds of the golf outing from last year, again this year, despite not having the fundraiser. So very nice note of appreciation from Dayton Children's, who's a wonderful community partner of ours. Committee announcements, how can I help? We can't pull off all these things we do without a ton of volunteers, and that's what the beauty of having such a large club is. The first committee announcement we're going to do is going to be, I'm going to ask Nancy Laren to unmute herself and tell us about the sickle cell event that we held this past Saturday at, I believe, the Joan and Ray Kroc Center. Am I right on that, Nancy?
No, it was, this year the event was held at a new facility that Children's has just a little bit north of their hospital. And we partnered with the sickle cell committee in the hospital and put on a drive-by Build-A-Bear. I was surprised that we were moving forward, but very excited about it. As you can see from the pictures, in order to limit contact and to, exposure to the virus, we pre-dressed all the bears in and put them in large plastic bags. We had boy bears and girl bears. And when the children drove by, we gave them a choice, a couple choices, as you can see, Denise and Sarah are holding up choices for kids. And they chose a bear and then moved on. And we had 38 kids who came by. We left an additional 26 bears with the nursing staff so that they can give them out to children who were not able to attend. And then the remaining 32 bears are going to be donated to the hematology oncology unit. I've already been in touch with Rita, my contact there. And because we assume there will be no Build-A-Bear in October or November, at least not the way we've known it in the past, we're going to give them bears to hand out to the kids in clinic. So a big shout out to the people who helped me with it. It worked out great. And it just goes to show you that you can reimagine an event and do it a little differently.
Superb job. Superb job. Reimagining how we do things. Do we have any other committee announcements?
Greg, I can go ahead and say a little bit about our need for having the Flags Helpers. Again, 2 weeks from tomorrow, we're going to deliver flags. We don't have our wrestlers that usually help load flags. So in that time in the morning, we need some extra helpers to load flags. We're going to be open from 9 until 2. The wrestlers will come in the evening. And then retrieval will be the 8th, and same thing, 9 until 2. So I'll get more about that to other people too. Mike, do you have anything else?
Mike Brubaker?
Tom, what's our count?
I'm sorry, I stepped away for just a second. We've only have had one subscription this past week, but since the 4th of July, we're up by about 50 flags.
And what's the number now, Mike?
28, 53, 54, something around there.
And that's probably 450 flags over last year, I think?
More than that.
Is it? Okay. Fantastic. Fantastic. Program's a wonderful program. And as, you know, for the benefit of Larry Hansgen, we normally do a display on Memorial Day, bring the flags back in, put them back out for Flag Day, bring them back in, put them out for 4th of July. This year, the Avenue Flags team decided to put the flags out Memorial Day and leave them out through Independence Day. The public loved it. And Mike Brubaker was literally up at 2 o'clock in the morning putting subscriptions in because, as many of you know, I keep really odd hours. And he and I were communicating via email at 2 o'clock in the morning. So it's just a fabulous program, and it's really allowed the club to do so much, you know, with the revenue we raise from it. Okay. It is Mr. Tinnerman. Are you on with us? He was earlier.
Sir, yes, sir. I am on.
Would you like to introduce Larry Hansgen?
Well, I would be happy to. I mean, I think most of us know Larry already. You know, Larry Hansgen, voice of the Dayton Flyers, has been for, I don't know, like 78, 80 years or so now, right? Voice of the Flyers. So back to the Fieldhouse days, perhaps, right? Also the morning voice on WHI radio. So Larry is gracious enough to give us some time, come speak to us about hopefully what's going on around town and what's going on with the UD Flyers. So Larry, take it away.
All right. Ron, you left out the most important part of my resume, and that was as your assistant coach in the Centerville Baseball League. You know, that was my crowning
grade, fourth grade.
Yeah, that was my crowning achievement. This other stuff is it pales in comparison to that summer and what all was accomplished. But before I get into what I wanted to talk about, you know, what you as a club are doing, this is how we're going to get through this. And I see little microcosms of our world where people come together and with collective efforts and collective cooperation are able to accomplish things. And, you know, you look at the other microcosm I would use is I play golf at Walnut Grove, and we've only had one day where the course was not open. And the reason was is because everybody wants to have the course open. So what are the rules? what are the rules, what are the guidelines, what are the procedures, what are the protocols, and hey, let's follow them to the T, and that way we get to have our golf club. And when you guys come together and do the things you've done, you've said, okay, what are the guidelines? What do we have to do to get these bears out? What's the protocol? And you said, okay, let's do it then. And I think that, you know, there's a lesson that the entire community can learn from organizations such as yours about how to weather this and how to get on the other side without just pulling the covers over our head and waiting for someone to call us and say, okay, it's okay to come out now. You know, this is how we're going to get through this, is with these type of collective efforts. It would be real easy for all of us to look at 2020 and just say, gosh, what an awful year. It'd be real easy to do that. But obviously, there's a lot of great things that happened as well. And if you look towards the future, you know, I can see great things happening again down the road. I will confess that my job has been more enjoyable in previous years. I've got kind of like a little routine where the alarm goes off at 2:20. You think you keep weird hours, Greg? I think I got you beat. The alarm goes off at 2:20. And so my day begins. And, you know, a lot of times I don't jump out of bed and my feet barely touch the floor because I'm walking on air just in anticipation of what a wonderful day it's going to be. No, that's not been my reality. It's been, wow. Well, today's the day that I'm probably going to have to sell someone that the concert that they've been waiting to see that's been canceled, their favorite festival has been canceled. They've got to find some kind of other way of having their kids taken, you know, watched, because school's not going to be starting on time. And, you know, it always seems like every day I have to be this bearer of some type of bad news. And to be honest with you, it gets to you after a while. But inevitably, in that time it takes me to drive from Washington Township down to South Main Street on Dayton, by the time I get there, I think, you know, it's going to be okay. All right, it's going to be okay. And we're going to get through this. We're going to figure it out. We're going to let people know the things that are important, the things they need to know. Hey, maybe I can find something that will be, I don't know, of interest or of humor, or maybe I can find something that people could say, wow, I remember, wow, that was interesting, or that was funny. And it just takes their mind off of, you know, the long list of woes that we're experiencing. So I have tried to channel my inner optimist in doing my job each day. You know, I look back on what happened in 2020, and I'm going to go all the way back to Memorial Day of 2019, when we had the tornadoes. And that just kind of started a really kind of rough patch for this community. And then we had the Oregon District shooting. And we had Officer Del Rio's death. A lot of calamitous events that kind of ripped at the, were kind of a gut punch, one after another. And then something really special happened. And it happened incrementally, but it happened quickly. And once it happened, I tell you what, it had some staying power. And that was what the Dayton basketball team did. They announced their presence with authority. I thought that they were going to do some really good things. I really did. And I'll let you guys in. You're the first group I've spoken to let you know that there's a book sitting at the publishers right now, and they're doing what all the stuff that they do before they publish books. And it should be out hopefully in the next a couple of months, detailing this season and the culture that surrounded this Dayton basketball team and how it came together and what they did and how they helped the community heal. So that was something that's kept me busy during a lot of time at home with not much going on. So I've written this book, but it gave me a chance to really look back and reflect upon how this all began. And I was the only person out of all the people that voted in the Atlantic 10 preseason poll that picked the Dayton Flyers to win the championship, win the conference title. They got one vote, and it was me. And that either makes me an unmitigated homer or truly one of the great basketball minds of our time. I think I'm going to go with the latter on that. I saw something in this team, and lo and behold, they were very kind of unimpressive before they went to Maui, because I think at that point in time, they were just they weren't a whole yet. The sum of their parts was still greater than the sum of them as a whole. When they hit Maui, then it started to click. And, you know, obviously they caught the attention of the basketball world, and they started winning. And they started winning and winning, and they never stopped winning. The last time they lost a game was in 2019 on December 20th, and won 20 games after that, and were poised to be a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. Well, we know what happened. It was a quick chain of events, but in some ways it happened like in slow motion. Have you ever fallen down, and as you're falling, you realize, oh my gosh, I'm falling, and you can count the steps, and you can feel yourself tumbling, and you know, I'm falling. I realize I'm falling, and there's nothing I'm going to be able to do about it. I'm eventually going to land, and that's not going to feel good when it happens. That's what that week felt like before, you know, the sports world came to an end. The way it kind of went timeline-wise, Dayton on Wednesday, the team was flying to New York and would not have to play until Friday. And so they were there Wednesday, practice Thursday, find out who they're going to play on Friday. Well, as we're leaving to get ready to go to New York, we find out, well, there's not going to be any fans at the tournament. So that kind of put a damper on it. And there was a gathering before the tournament began with all the radio guys in the league. And, you know, they're all coming. Guys from LaSalle come up and they're saying, I feel so terrible for you guys, your fans. I mean, to not be able to watch the team this great year. And they said, our guys are used to playing in front of no fans. It's not going to affect us one bit because we never have any fans anyway, but I feel bad for you guys and your people. So that, and while this is happening, there's an NBA game on in the background at this bar we're at, and we see players come off the floor and the game's canceled. Oh boy. And then late, by the time we walk back to the hotel, the NBA season has been put on hold. Wow. Get up the next day, go to the Barclays Center to watch a noon game between UMass and VCU, because that's who Dayton's going to play. And there's nobody there. It's empty. It just feels weird. And they finish warming up. The teams are buzzed to the bench. They're all in a huddle. They're getting ready to announce the starting lineup. And the PA announcer says, ladies and gentlemen, the Atlantic 10 championship has been canceled. Please travel safely. Wow. So then we get word that flight back to Dayton is going to be 5 hours later. Get back to the hotel. Get on the plane. By the time the plane had taxied and was just about to go wheels up, we all learned that the NCAA tournament was canceled. So it felt that 24-hour period, less than 24 hours, it did. It felt like falling down the stairs in slow motion to an event inevitable, very hard and very painful landing. My takeaway from this, though, and what I really want to leave you guys with today, is that the reaction of Anthony Grant and how he responded is really noteworthy, because his message to his players and his staff, and a lot of the assistant coaches flat out said, it was really hard for them, and that he got them through it was a message of gratitude. Every practice ends with the team all gathered in a circle. And if I happen to be at practice, well, they pulled me into the circle too. If a former player's back for watch the practice, they pull them in. If guys from ESPN are there to get ready for a broadcast, they pull them in. And everyone holds hands, gathers in a circle, and I guess you would call it a Dayton basketball version of Happy Bucks, because they say, and Coach Grant says, let us be grateful. And individuals will step up and they'll talk about something that they're grateful for. And it's not usually basketball. You know, sometimes we're grateful to be in this wonderful, beautiful paradise like Maui and to get a chance to play here. But usually it's about something more than basketball. It's about relationships. And that has carried over into the aftermath of the season that was taken away from them. Not the season, but the postseason that was taken away from them. The chance to play for an Atlantic 10 tournament title, the chance to play in the NCAA tournament and perhaps win the whole daggone thing, if not just go to the Final Four. But instead, their message has been, let us be grateful. Let us be grateful. And Dayton basketball teams have always been judged by what they did in the postseason. It's always been about postseason play. If you think back, if you're a Flyer fan, and really if you're a fan of just any team, you look back at what did they do in the postseason? What did they do? You know, if you're a Ohio State football fan, you look back at 2002 and going out in the Fiesta Bowl and beating Miami. You look at the college football playoff and beating Alabama and then beating Oregon. You know, if you're a Wright State fan, you look back at, 1983, getting over the hump and getting in the NCAA tournament. I mean, all these things, or 93 rather, you look back at those postseason events as being the defining moment. But I'm here to tell you that as a Dayton fan, you need to be grateful for the greatest season, because any way you analyze it, this team had the greatest season, start to finish, albeit a finish that came too soon, in the history of the program. 29-2, record for wins, 20-game winning streak, that tied a record, ranked third in the nation, highest they'd ever been, 18-0 in the Atlantic 10, only the first time someone had been 18-0 since the league went back to that 18-game league format. And on top of that, had the consensus National Player of the Year in Obi Toppin and the consensus National Coach of the Year in Anthony Grant. So no matter how you look at it, no matter how disappointing it was when it abruptly came to an end, this was the greatest Dayton Flyer basketball
game. Goodbye.
And for that, Flyer fans, Flyer announcers, should be grateful. So, questions, anyone?
Larry, what about the recruiting that we're reading about on Dayton Daily?
Well, success begets success. The great thing about it is that culture has been created. And that's the thing that excites me. And that's the thing that should make you feel good, because, they're getting high quality kids who want to become better people. Ibby Watson, who will have his senior year playing 2 years at Dayton after playing 2 years at Michigan and transferring. And he says the true care for the whole person and the interest on the part of this coaching staff to make someone a better human being, a better man, a better student, and not just a better basketball player, he says it's like nowhere else in the country. And the word's gotten out. You know, the word's gotten out to where, you know, moms and dads still have a lot of say when it comes to where kids go to school. And Anthony and his assistants, guys like Anthony Solomon and Ricardo Greer, pretty good in the living room. They're pretty good in the living room saying that that mother, that father, that mom and dad, that grandmother, that, hey, your son is going to be a better person because of what we're going to do.
Great.
Larry, is there any chance that Shauna Green and the women flyers are going to start getting more recognition for what they've been doing?
Well, I think without a doubt, because they had perhaps an even better recruiting year. And, you know, there's an old saying, the only way you get better is to recruit better players than you already have. And she's done that. It's going to be an interesting mix this year, just because of the standpoint of maturity versus talent. Last year, you might say that last year they overachieved a little bit, you know, caught fire at the right time and, you know, winning the tournament. But I think this year, once the maturity catches up to the talent, you're going to see really big things out of them.
Okay.
And they had a great, I mean, I mentioned Ricardo Greer, who is on the staff. Shauna's quick to admit that they got a girl from France who might be their best player, and he flat out recruited her. I mean, he knew her, he knew how to get her, and he got her here. And she's going to be a Dayton Flyer when most everyone thought, just assumed that she was just going to play pro basketball in France, and she wasn't even going to think about going to America, not even think about college. Everyone just kind of thought, ah, she's a pro. We got no chance with her. Ricardo got her. She's a Dayton Flyer.
Any thought of broadcasting their games?
Well, I mean, I'm just hoping there'll be games to broadcast.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Okay.
That and that's something we should know mid-September. I don't think that there's really a question of if there's going to be a basketball season, because, you know, the NCAA had, you know, they wiped out all of the spring and winter championships last year. To do that for a second cycle would be, that'd be devastating. And so there is at least unified leadership when it comes to the college basketball world. And, you know, people forget, you know, football, there is no NCAA football. The only NCAA football is what the Dayton Flyers are playing in the FCS, or what Wittenberg is playing in, or Otterbein or Capital University. Ohio State is not playing NCAA football. That is a whole different animal. That's the FBS, and they don't have any leadership. There's no leadership there. And so as a constant, you saw the mess they've got moving forward. So basketball, well, there's at least there is some leadership, and there are people that I think are pretty smart people that are putting plans in place and contingency plans and contingencies upon contingencies to make sure it happens.
Okay, goodbye.
Is there any speculation on where our good friend Obi might go in the upcoming NBA draft?
Well, you know, I really think he'll be a lottery pick. He'll be one of those, you know, so it all depends on who pulls out the ping pong balls or the keys or key fobs or whatever. And you know, he'll be a top eight pick, but which one of those eight teams, that'll depend upon need and where they are in the pecking order. So, yeah, it's really not like the NFL where you know who's picking in what order. So it's hard. You know, it's really hard to say.
Gotcha.
Larry, are any other players that left the program playing pro basketball anywhere?
Let's see. Trey Landers just landed in Germany today. He's playing in the town in a city called Ulm, and I know Ryan Mixell has signed with an agent, and I don't know that he has signed to play anywhere else. But I mean, some of the guys from previous years, Devin Oliver is in Turkey, I think. Oh gosh. Trying to think of who else is where, but you know, a lot of guys are playing overseas. Yeah. Jordan Seibert, I think, is going to be in the D League again. Same thing with Kostas. He's in the D League. Yeah, I mean, and Jalen and Ibby put their names in the draft, but they took them out, so they're back. Jalen, we could have a year. We could have a situation where Dayton could have back-to-back players of the year in the Atlantic 10. Because right now, I think Jalen Crutcher is the best returning player in the league. I mean, I think he's preseason pick to be player of the year. And watch out. Watch for Ibby Watson. Ibby Watson is going to have a heck of a season.
Larry, what do you think about Chris Johnson coming back as far as playing time?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I was saying, what about Chris Johnson coming back and playing time?
Chase Johnson.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd love to have Chris Johnson back.
Yeah. Chase coming back is, you know what, that is an absolute bonus. I mean, he's a big athletic guy that can stretch the floor a little bit, gives him another body inside. You know, and I think there again, you know, the big picture thing, the thing what it really speaks to is that, you know, this program didn't give up on him. You know, the lines of communication were maintained all season long, not just coaching staff to him and his family, but the players. I mean, these guys, he was included. You know, he was never like, okay, goodbye, Chase, see you. So I guess it says something about the character of the program that the door was left open for him to be able to return. And, you know, I think obviously the guy's got some great tools, and, you know, if he can be healthy, that's a big if for everybody though. But, you know, because that's something we forget. The Dayton team last year, after they got back from Maui, other than Chase, they lost one game to a player being injured, and that was Jalen Crutcher missed the Grambling game with a concussion. Other than that, they were healthy the whole year.
Any final questions for Larry?
I just got one thing I'll throw in closing then, because I missed it earlier, but history is going to be made in 2020 in a positive way, in that Obi Toppin will be drafted on August 20th in the NBA draft. And Adam Trautman was already drafted in the third round by the New Orleans Saints. So the first time in the history of the University of Dayton, they're going to have players drafted in both the NFL and NBA drafts in the same year. And there's already talk. I kid you not. There are people saying that Adam Trautman could be the offensive rookie of the year in the NFC. His first day of practice with the Saints, he's running with the first team offense. First snap, they run a play, and he comes back to the huddle, and he tells Drew Brees, "You used the wrong term in calling the play. You had the wrong word." And Sean Payton just lost his mind. He wasn't mad. He thought it was funny, and he thought, wow, here's my rookie from Dayton coming back to the huddle and telling Drew Brees, hey, you called the play wrong.
Wow. All right. I told you, I knew Larry would not disappoint us. had two pictures.
Not to, you guys are my friends. I can't do that.
We always love having you come and see us. We rather have you at Yankee Trace in person and have lunch with us, but we're doing Zoom for now, and we'll see how things go. We had to reinvent ourselves, as you mentioned, and that's exactly what we did.
I'll take a rain check on that lunch.
That sounds good. And we'll have something besides chicken when you come back. Well, that's the joke always. We get chicken every week. So I said on the bright side, we haven't had chicken since March 10th. All right. So now we come to Happy Box. Do we have any Happy Box?
I'll put a dollar happy buck for Larry, because I thought that was a great topic. Just hearing about the Flyers, and it made me feel warm all over. Thanks, Larry.
I'll give a happy buck. I'm out of the 111 degree temperature.
In Las Vegas.
Yeah. It's a little toasty out there.
Happy buck. Shauna Hatton, who's a member of our club, also happens to be my daughter. I think many of you know she has been a studio art instructor at Dayton Art Institute. And since they've been shut down, she this week opened her own art studio in Springboro, Chasing Light, where she'll be giving lessons, and also has art from various artists in the community on sale. So if any of you are interested in art lessons, Chasing Light Art Studio is open. She's reinvented herself since she lost her job at Dayton Art Institute. So I'm happy for that.
Anyone else? All right. So upcoming speakers, and it's really interesting that, we talked about the University of Dayton and what a wonderful organization it is, not only from an athletic standpoint, but from building the right type of people from a moral standpoint as well. So next week, August 25th, we have Pamela Gregg, who's going to be with us from University of Dayton Research Institute, known as UDRI. So we're pretty excited about that. That should be quite interesting. September 1st, we have Brady Kress. He's going to be talking about Dayton history and Carillon Park happenings. And then on September 8th, I've got question marks after this, but this is our hope. We had an opening in our schedule, which worked out perfectly for us. We had originally planned to give Dayton Children's the check from the golf outing, which would have taken place by now on September 8th. And we decided two things. One is, we weren't having the golf outing, but we were still going to give them a check, and we knew they needed the money sooner than later. So we did that 2 weeks ago. So September 8th is open, and I reached out to Craig Boring, and he must get so much crap for that name, Craig Boring. But he's the executive director of the Optimus International Foundation. And the foundation does a lot of wonderful work with the clubs, pays for scholarships, does all kinds of terrific work. And I haven't heard back from him yet. I'm highly confident that he'll be able to join us via Zoom, but I put question marks after it because I haven't heard from him yet. But that's the next 3 weeks of meetings that we'll be having. So I want to thank everybody for coming. I want to thank, we had a great crowd today. I want to thank Larry Hansgen, our old friend, for coming and speaking to us as always. It's always a pleasure to have you. And we will close the meeting as we always do by reciting the Optimus Creed. And the creed, as just like the Pledge of Allegiance, it'll sound a little strange because of all the different internet speeds, but here we go. Promise yourself to be so strong that nothing can disturb your peace of mind. To talk health, happiness, and prosperity every person
you meet.
To make all of
your friends that there's something in them.
to look at the
sunny side of everything,
make your optimism
come true.
To think only the best,
expect only the best. Be just as enthusiastic as you are about your own.
Forget the mistakes
of the past. Press on
to greater achievements of the future.
To wear a cheerful countenance at all times. Every living creature you must smile.
To give so much time
to the improvement of yourself that you have no time to criticize others.
To be too large,
for worry,
too strong for anger,
too strong for fear, the presence of trouble.
Amen.
And I will stop sharing my screen so you can see each other. Thanks, everybody, for a great meeting. Everybody. Thanks to Larry Hansgen.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll look forward to seeing many of you again next week.
Okay.
Good night, Jim Bob.
I appreciate it.
Good night, Mary.
Night, John Boy.
Good night, John Boy. I used to watch the Waltons.
Still can. YouTube.
Okay, I'm going to end the meeting, which will boot the rest of you stragglers off. So have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next Tuesday.